So, if you still have your Bibles at hand, you can, if you are interested, read the first part of this passage, which is the sort of less hopeful part of this passage, right? This passage is the promise if you do what God asks you to do. The part before this is the you aren't actually doing what God's telling you to do, and so what do you expect in life? And that's a thing you see a lot in the 9th century prophets. And here, this might be after that, but also is a little bit about following the same themes, right? That there are periods in time in the Old Testament where it seems pretty clear that the people with power are ignoring the people without power. They are looking at all the things that the prophets, that God has said through the prophets that follow in the Torah and the law of the Old Testament to do to show mercy. There are a lot of institutions of mercy built into the law of Israel back in those days and the law of Judaism back in those days. And then there come prophets who say, yes, but you aren't doing that, right? You aren't helping the widow out there. You aren't helping the orphan. You are exploiting your workers. You're not giving them the rest that they need. You're not giving them the jubilee. You're not giving them fair wages. All of these things happen at various points throughout the Bible. And it's a helpful reminder, I think, for all of us. It's one of the reasons it's so rich to read the entirety of the Bible and not just the New Testament. You get some parables in the New Testament. You get some of these examples. But the New Testament is so short. Right? Even in the Bible, if you look at where the Old Testament ends, the New Testament begins, you know, the New Testament is just a collection of writings, some slightly longer Gospels, and then some letters that are necessarily very short after Acts, which is the biggest one. And you look to the Old Testament, and there are these histories, and there are these stories, and there's documents of law that go on at length. There are these books that are written over centuries, not over, you know, 100 years or 70 years or however long you think it took the New Testament to be written, but over centuries. And that means they have the opportunity to tell stories about God's people and about God over and over and over again. And there's a reason why we wouldn't have the New Testament without the Old Testament. Right? Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, quotes prophecies, refers to different people in the Old Testament, the preachers that are also in the New Testament, like the author of Hebrews, also quotes things that happen in the Old Testament. Only by looking at all together do we get a full picture of what Jesus thought God was, what Paul thought what God was, and what indeed God is and was. And reading passages like this one in Isaiah is important because it shows us what a struggling people were going through and what at least some of the prophets thought were important when the people were struggling. Right? Obviously, the prophets, who are their job is to present the perspective of God in whatever world that they are in. Obviously, a recurring theme is you aren't listening to God enough. Okay, that's natural. That's their job. That's what they're doing. But one of the great things about the prophets is even in this time, right, we have hundreds of years of tradition even before we get to this time of Isaiah, right? We have hundreds of years of tradition before the Assyrian exile, before the first exile, and before we get into other exiles that happen in the Bible. We have all of the experience for them to draw on and say, here is what life might have been like, here's what life might have been in the past, and here's what life will be again if only we listen. If only we listen to what God has to say to us, if only we listen to what the promises of God are to those who are reconciled to God and to one another. And that's a really important thing to look out for when we read the Old Testament, the things that happen when we are reconciled to one another. That Isaiah says, you need to listen to God, but it means in listening to God, you need to reconcile yourself to the people around you. You need to make sure that you are taking responsibility for your own actions. You need to make sure you're not blaming someone else for everything that is happening. You need to make sure that you're not oppressing the people who are building things up again. You need to make sure that you're not exploiting workers because you have a little bit more. You need to make sure that you're not bitter and full of resentment toward others when there is work to be done. Right? That's what Isaiah is telling us in this passage, that it's easy, either when things aren't going the way we want them to, or things aren't going fast enough, quickly enough when we want them to, or even when we look around and say we think we are working more than other people are, to start blaming others for our problems. Sometimes to blame God for our problems. Sometimes to blame the people who are doing the work. Sometimes to blame the people who are saying here's what the work ought to be. You know, all of these things come at us, and it's natural for us to want to sow division when we think we're not getting our fair shake, when we think that things aren't going the way that they're supposed to. And it's good, right? Isaiah, you know, makes it clear, just like other prophets make it clear, it's good, right, to say, hey, this, there is injustice happening and going on around us. But saying there's injustice is a lot different than laying all of the blame for any situation at someone else's feet and never taking responsibility for our own actions, especially as regards how we treat one another. You know, the burden is more to people with more power. Like the man said, you know, with great power there must also come great responsibility, right? Famous saying of Uncle Ben. And so there is that settling down on the people who are wealthy, on the people who are directing the workers, on the people who are the rulers. But it begins on a small level, because it is easy, if we think we're being exploited by someone else, to miss how it is we might be exploiting someone ourselves. If we are resentful about the people abusing us, if we are always focused on the person who makes just a little bit more money than we do, how we aren't really the wealthy ones, we aren't really the powerful ones, then our day-to-day interactions with people with less wealth and power than we have, we might forget that they're interactions where we need to be reconciled to the power that we hold to. And that's why this message is, I'm sure, aimed at a lot of the leaders, but also it goes down through the ranks. Because if we are treating people poorly down at the bottom, other people can see that and justify, well, I'll treat them poorly too, I'll treat them poorly too, all the way up. But as long as we look and say, I am entitled to be treated better, I'm entitled to get what I need from them that are below me, I'm entitled to display the power that I have, then we can never be reconciled with one another. We can never accept the responsibility that means we are agents in our own lives and so are they, and that we are capable of doing harm as well as being harmed. So often in life, we are convinced that we are good people. We are convinced that we are just. We are convinced that we are the ones not getting the fair shake. And so we forget that what we do can harm someone else. We forget that what we do can lead not to God's glory, not to God's restoration, not to repairing the breach, but to creating new breaches. I think that's one of the reasons, in addition to sort of the... I think one of the reasons they think that this passage in particular was written for the rebuilding of Jerusalem is, it says, then you'll be known as like the repairers of the breach, the restorers of the streets to live on, right? You know, it's very, very obvious physical imagery. You will be, you know, viewed as the person who fixed the roads again. We see that as specific imagery in this too, because what God's view of the best parts of humanity are not necessarily the creation of new things, but fixing what is broken. That what we have here is a city that is broken. God says, if you reconcile yourself to me and to one another, if you understand that your actions oppressing others cause a problem, if you understand that blaming someone else for the things we need to do causes a problem, if you understand those things, then you can start to rebuild the city, which is, of course, also a metaphor for our humanity. If there is nothing else going on in the Bible, there is the message from God that we ought to be reconciled to one another, that our relationships can be fixed, our relationships can be restored with God and with one another, that we can heal the divisions that some say began in the garden of Eden with Adam and Eve that are then extended through generations of humanity until today, but need not be. That always in the Bible there is this yearning for reconciliation. Reconciliation with God, reconciliation with one another, and God always comes and says, you need to be reconciled to one another. You need to restore good relationship with the people around you. You need to not exploit and take advantage of the people around you. You need to not simply resent the people around you. You need to remember your obligations to one another, some of which are laid down in the Ten Commandments, some of which are laid down elsewhere. You need to remember your obligations to one another and remember that this is all a world of God, created by God, full of people that God loves, and that when you can connect with each other, when you can show your love for one another, when you can refrain from mistreating one another, then you will have repaired the roads, repaired the breaches, rebuilt the beauty of humanity that God once built for all of us. It is the opportunity for all of us to look at a broken world. It's the opportunity to look at that world, to look at what God might do in that world, and recognize the responsibility each of us has to, in our little sphere of influence, in the small circles in which we run in the relationships that we have, to repair them. To take the opportunity, to see the opportunity, to further rend humanity in two, and instead to take up needle and thread and stitch it back together again. And there's a reason that the prophets tell the people of Israel this over and over and over again. There are three or four entire books filled with basically nothing other than saying this. There are many more in which this is touched upon in those books, and that is because it is hard. It is hard for all of us in our full humanity to accept the responsibility that we might harm others. It's hard for all of us in our full humanity to accept some responsibility for these great breaches that predate us and will go on after us. It is hard for us to accept responsibility for our own little part in the world, for surely, surely little old me cannot possibly be the one that God is talking to. But if it is not us that God is talking to, who is the other? Who is the person that God is talking to? Who are the people that God is talking to? Where is the limit? Where is the line? Oh, God is talking to these people, but not these people, right? God is talking to them, but not me. And once we start saying God is talking to them and not to me, or God loves me and God does not love them, well then, we've broken down another road. We've torn a hole in the fabric of humanity once more. Which is why over and over again the prophets try to get through to all of us, not just the powerful, but those of us with power only in a small part of our life, that we are the ones with the obligations to do the rebuilding. That if we start at the bottom rebuilding and we build all the way up, then we will have a sustainable world. Then we will have the city of God. Then we will have this entire realm of God together, where we can all be reliant on knowing that from one another we will get the respect that is owed to a loved child of God. And we know that because it is what we give also. Only by building these relationships one at a time, only by restoring relationships when we see the opportunity, only by restoring the breaches that we see in front of us, can we build this warm quilt of love together, and can we ever get to that promised land that God gives us in the beginning and the end of the Bible, the creation and recreation on this journey through life and through all of humanity together. It starts with us. What is the breach that you see in front of you? What is the repair that you can make? What is the first thing you can do to reach out to another person and say, I want right relationship with you on my journey to God?